So just for my audio ID of your voices, too, let me go ahead and have y'all say y'all's names.
Turner. This is Bill.
All right, great. Let me just start by asking, how do y'all find the three boys that you ultimately followed in the picture?
They walked right past us. We were standing outside in one of our very few days being awake during daytime. And they walked right past us, and we're like, "There's our movie." You know, that we just heard them. You know, their banter, and you know the way they were acting up, and we're just like, "Well, that's what we need to be doing." And the two older brothers demanded that the youngest, William, not be in it because he's annoying. So he sort of trailed like 20 yards behind, you know, for like the first 10 minutes, and. You know, and he was just, you know, running his mouth like, you know, what do you think would happen if you were attacked by a bear? You know, and he's like, he'd be saying stuff like that. He's like, all right, this gentleman needs to be in the movie. So we convinced the older two that, you know, little bro needed to be, you know, in the film. So
he became the lead. He's magical. But yeah, I mean, call it luck, serendipity, whatever it is. They really just walked into our situation down there.
So y'all had already been set up in New Orleans ahead of time.
We've been filming for 6 or 7 months already. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, it was so strange. Like, that was the time when we were having the conversation of, you know, not replicating Childhood Wonder, but actually figuring out how to capture it. You know, and these kids.
We had spent a lot of time in New Orleans growing up, and you know, we've been in and out of there in our adult life, and anyway.
Yeah, it was wonderful. And they were available. We started filming the same day they walked past us.
So by having spent time in New Orleans beforehand, earlier in life, that's kind of what led you back to the city then, I guess, is the idea. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, we put out an Ohio movie, and we have this film here, and we just shot a film here in Texas on the Mexico border, and I feel like we're sort of just exercising, you know, these images that are just stuck in our head. And it's like, you know, there's a gentleman knocking on the door.
Wait. That's sign language.
But, yeah, I just feel like we have to make these films because those images are in there. And it's like, if they don't get out, you know, there's no way I could go back to, you know, doing a, you know, a job. So,
it's a necessary compulsion.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of the way that things have to be. Yeah. I'm glad people are paying attention and wanting to talk about, you know, what we do, but this is something we're going to keep doing. Yeah. I think we're kind of making these films for ourselves. And, you know, it's a continual conversation with each other, and now we can put them out and share them with other people.
Well, you know, we see a little bit of the time at home with the boys just at the very beginning of the film, you know, and then most of the time we're following them through nighttime New Orleans. And, you know, I was really struck by at one point while they're stranded at the ferry station, there's this line, you know, like, ain't nobody's going to come and get us, you know, nobody cares about us. And it really, you know, it made me wonder, you know, how these kids thought of themselves.
I think really the great rapport that we established with those kids was due mostly in part to us being willing to listen to them talk. You know, they were wanting to have those conversations, but I don't think anybody's listening. You know, especially in the case of little William. You know, like even when we started filming with those guys, his brothers didn't want to listen to him. But he's the most charming kid in the world. So it's, yeah, they have a different background, and it was a very positive experience. You know,
both ways.
You know, it wasn't. It wasn't a movie with three kids. It was a movie with five kids. You know, there were three in front, and Bill and I mean, it honestly felt like being a kid again when we started filming with them. And they were actually only a small part of our time down there. You know, it's based around a night with them. And we continued to film with them and pick things up. And, you know, now that it's over, you know, Bill and William still go to the movies every week. But, you know, that ambient environment, that sense of place was established in the other 8 months that we filmed there. But it was, yeah, it was wonderful with those kids, and we've tried to remain a part of their lives as much as we can.
You feel the movie is about them or about the city or both?
I think, You know,
I'm curious of what you're about to say.
Well, it's a lot of things. I mean, in its essence, it's also sort of a city symphony. I mean, you are existing in a space. And it's not so much about the kids as it is, I think, their observations and sort of their reaction to that world. It's more about a response to an environment. So, I mean, we created that world and we allowed those kids to go through it, but it's more like that magic and that awe and that wonder that is the perspective of a child looking at a surreal, like, you know, what do you call it, like Pleasure Island.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing about New Orleans, too, that I was looking at when I watched the movie, because there was a time in the 90s when I went to New Orleans at least two, maybe three times a year. I had a friend that lived there, and so we would all go visit her and stay with her mom. And so it's funny that you describe the city as a pleasure island, because, you know, when you go visit there, you see that. But then since we were going and seeing other parts of the city, there's a kind of a weariness about the city at the same time from the people who are just like scraping and trying to make it. They're performing, and there's a lot of great shots of performers in the film, but they are tired, you know, and you can see that too.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I live there now, and, you know, if you're not careful, the town will fucking eat you up, you know. Sorry, probably shouldn't cuss, right? But it's a cheerful, at least for me, it's a cheerful drowsiness, you know. It's like you work hard and you play hard, and, you know,
there's love in it.
There's love, and there's, you know, it's like the very passionate people that, you know, I don't know. But yeah, you're right.
And it's a beautiful place. You know, you're right. The whole, we presented one experience, mm-hmm. and New Orleans is a big, broad, and beautiful thing. And, you know, on every block and in different parts of town, it's a different experience that's just as rich as any place else. This was our perspective on you know, that the environment those kids were in. But you could make it bigger. You know, New Orleans is not a one-dimensional place.
Yeah. I mean, were you tempted at all, or did you say, oh, gosh, we got to limit ourselves here to this area?
Well, I mean, we could make different films out of what we shot there. You know, it became obvious that what we were after, and that's why I say it's a continual conversation, I think, between Bill and I. You have to go back to what our impetus was, and that impetus was, you know, a couple kids from the cornfield spending time in such a surreal place, you know, Bill and I as kids, and seeing, you know, just seeing that environment and being immersed in something like that, and that wonder. And we eventually came back to that idea. I mean, that's what the film became, but when we were shooting, I don't think that's what it always was. You know, every person in that film, every blip on the screen is somebody that we could make a film about, and we really have the footage and spent the time. But there's only one way to tell the story that we needed to tell. So, I mean, our archival footage and our old man stories will be great, but, you know, this is what spoke to us out of what the experience was.
Now, you mentioned that your next film is going to be was shot here in Texas along the border. Can you give me any preview or describe what you're finding?
Well, with all these scenes that we make, it's sort of like it's just a crapshoot. You know, we go to a town or a city for a year and shoot what we find interesting, and collect, you know, hundreds of hours of footage, and you know, over a year sort of write the script in the editing of the feeling that, you know, first took us, you know, on that journey. But I have no idea what that film is going to be about. You know, it's just, I won't know, you know, once I leave here, I'll start editing that one, and I probably won't have any clue what we're dealing with for like 6 months. You know, just like it's sitting with that footage, and, you know, eventually.
But we know what the essence of it was. You know, I mean, we.
Do you? I mean, what?
Well, we went because we wanted to make a Western. You know, like we.
Well, that's a very broad.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to discuss, you know, to nail these things. We're not you know, these aren't issue based films. You know, these aren't social issues. We are really existing in, I mean, they're all kind of love letters in a way, but really, portraiture, you know, it's portraiture and experience, and you can come in with all the preconceived notions you want, all the, you know, construct ideas that you want, but in the end, you can only use what you captured, you can only use what you experienced, and so no matter what you came in with, that idea is going to be changed by the actual experience. We spent a year, you know, living with cowboys and in North Mexico, and, you know, it was wild. And it's totally different than New Orleans. You know, it's a big, stark, slow, hot landscape. And that film will be so different. You know, New Orleans is...
What do you think it'll be?
I mean,
I love the dynamic between you guys, man.
I think it's more of a conversation. Like, I love the idea of the myth of the West. You know, the American idea of the West. But then, what is the West actually? What is the modern frontier? You know, they call the area we were in La Frontera. You know, you're down on the border, and it's like, well, what is the frontier? And are you actually, you know, when you watch Rio Bravo, you know, was that the true experience? Is that still? But it's implanted in our minds. And so to spend time down there and just invest and be enveloped by it, I'm curious. I mean, I want to watch the movies that we make. You know, that's the whole idea, is we're making these movies for each other as a conversation. And I really look forward to digging into the footage. It's been a year since we wrapped up. We started focusing on New Orleans and finishing that. But I know there
not
are...
Not quite, though. Is that true?
Maybe we left in June. I mean, it's the better part.
Oh, I'd have been there.
This is a mobile operation. You know, we've been living on the road for a while and making a go of this, and we're putting everything we have into this. So, I mean, we live down on the border, and you start dressing like that and living like that. And, you know, I look forward to the new chapters, but I think the border will be interesting. I like those stark images.
Yeah.
Did you feel like you mentioned you start dressing like that and living like that. Does it change you every time you go into these places?
Yeah. I went down there, you know, coming directly from New Orleans. Like, literally, I went and did a scout on the border, you know, all the way through New Mexico, all the way through Texas, went to every town on either side of the border, and it occurred to me where we needed to be. And I drove back to New Orleans and told Bill to pack a bag. And it's no joke. I mean, we left. You left your place the way it was, and we lived there for a year. But yeah, I mean, going straight from New Orleans was just such a different experience. We started filming with this, you know, 6.5 foot big, you know, mustachioed steer wrestler who runs a cattle ranch. And I meet him, and he doesn't know what to make of me. He said, "We need to take you shopping." He went and bought me boots and jeans and a hat, and he was like, "That's a good look for you."
He objected to the boots that he's wearing now. He said some very derogatory things about these boots here. Uh-huh. He said,
"You can't wear those kind of boots north of the border."
Yeah. So he took him shopping and had him dressed the part.
Kind of amazing.
I always got by though fine. Like, I had long hair at the time.
Why didn't they pick on you?
You know, wearing stuff like this, and I never got picked on. It was always him. I
don't know. That was good. We assimilated, and you know, this thing is just a continual experience. So yes, we're going and focusing on people. You know, like I said, with the kids, it's not three kids, it's five. You know, every environment that we're in, we are also there, and that becomes part of our lives. You know, these films are archives, they're documents, they're adventures. We're making communiques from our experience. So it's an ongoing dialogue. You know, these are individual films, you know, with their individual sensibilities, but it's an ongoing conversation and adventure, and we're creating these documents from that experience. So, yeah, I mean, we got to live on the border for a year and see a whole different way of life because we happen to use cameras. But we're there. And that's always interesting to me is presenting something that's in front of the camera while also that was our experience. You know, we were with those characters, you know, they're not characters, they're people. We were invested in their lives. We talk on the phone still, you know. How do you present, is a conversation we have all the time as well. It's like actuality, what is documentary? What is, you know, truth? And what is a construction of the truth? And I'm interested with that third wall. Like, how do we have an experience that's authentic and convey the truth to people while dismissing the fact that we are also there? Maybe we incorporate that in the future. I don't know. It's an interesting idea. I mean, we're not, like I said, you know, we're not trying to, you know, change people's minds about a social issue. Mm-hmm. We're trying to create, you know, create a greater truth out of pieces of the truth, you know, have this experience and then try to convey that feeling, that emotion, that whatever it was that we had there, and try to allow other people to participate in it.
We have one practical tech question here. Who does what? You mentioned you editing. You were editing. Are you kind of the primary editor, or I mean, what?
Yeah, we both shoot, and he does like all the producing and grant writing, and you know, all the stuff that I just don't have the brains for, and. I do all like the tech stuff of
Bill's the nerd.
I'm the nerd. And so I do all the editing and all that kind of stuff. So but you know, like I said, it's like for 6 months I'll sit there and deal with the footage and try to figure out what, you know, what it is and what it should be, and then I'll send him a cut and be like, "Okay, let's start, you know, having a conversation about, you know, this thing. So, but I mean, yeah, I mean, he's not pressing the buttons, but he's, you know, heavily involved after that first 6 months. Yeah. It's our movies, you know. It's like,
yeah, and I mean, the production of the thing is the main essence of that experience, and we're both being there on the ground and both shooting and interacting, and it just happens I do more of the front end stuff and Bill does more of the back end stuff. You know, we've been lived together for all our lives, and it's become, you know, an unsaid thing who does what, and it complements each other, and you know, I guess two brains are better than one. So
yeah. Oh, and lastly, I understand you're both Public Radio fans. Is that right?
Oh yeah, man.
Every day.
No, when I saw our rap sheet to come and, you know, come and do, you know, interviews and try to publicize the film, I was like, Nathan Cohn, you know, Texas Public Radio. I really this was the only time I lived someplace and actually contributed to Public Radio. I should do it more often. But we're always broke. But I loved it here, and I'm honored to have you include us in what you're doing.
Okay, I'm very glad, and I'm really looking forward to the next film as well. I know a lot of people, especially in South Texas, are going to as well. So
man, we're excited too, and I hope you'll have us back.
Congratulations.